You've bought yourself the most expensive piece of bait in the state of Florida. 4. Kit read the last page and set it on the small stack on the kitchen table in front of her.
Well, I like it so far, Jack. But the movie's script doesn't have all that stuff about the marriage and betrayal and all.
She'd taken a copy of the script with her and read it on the plane. He wanted me to give the guy some depth, some history, I said. In the movie, he's just a private dick with a bike. She got up and tousled my hair on the way to the fridge.
Missed your private dick.
She pulled some sandwich stuff out and put it on the counter.
Ham sandwich okay?
Sounds good. I watched her being methodical, 4 pieces of bread lined up along the edge of the cutting board. Mustard on 1 and 3, mayo on 2 and 4. Ham slices folded over to precisely fit the bread. My head felt good where she'd rubbed it.
Decide about the pseudonym?
The contract allowed me to make one up or not.
I don't think I'll do it. I'm not ashamed of having to work for a living.
Are you sure? She sliced the sandwiches in neat diagonals.
Christian Daly, wasn't he the guy who wrote that awful monster book?
Not that it won't be a good book.
You know, that's part of it. People will expect a piece of shit and get a decent book. Besides, the movie might be a big hit. Sell millions of copies of the book.
She put the stuff back in the fridge.
So then what? You get lots of novelization offers?
Maybe a real book or two. Though, in fact, I wouldn't turn down another deal like this. $1,000 a day plus a quarter for every copy sold?
She set the sandwiches on plates and brought them over. I've never been to Daytona Beach. Is there really a house like that?
No, I wouldn't risk using a real one, but there are plenty equally tasteful.
Good sandwich. We ought to fly down when the snow gets deep. Call it research.
Well, not much more of the story takes place there. I had an idea, though. Actual research.
You're gonna go kill a deer and cut it up.
Hey, I didn't think of that. Seriously, I want to take a longish bike trip, get a feel for it.
How long? You have snow tires for that thing?
Just a couple of weeks. Maybe over to Davenport and down the river a bit. Go through state parks as much as possible. No traffic.
Maybe you could join me for a couple of days.
She gave me an intense look.
Sure, pedal along through the deserted woods. Miles from nowhere. Why does that creep me out?
But she laughed. Just a thought. I could do it myself during the week.
Actually, I could use the exercise.
She stood up. Glass of wine? Half one. I'm going back to work.
Like that's stopping me.
She poured the glasses and brought them back.
I'll tell the boss that I had to have a drink because I just found out I'm in the middle of a Hitchcock movie where my boyfriend the writer is going to lure me out into the woods and dismember me.
I'll be gentle and clean up afterwards.
But that's a Stephen King movie, not Hitchcock.
It's Stephen King if the script possesses him and makes him act it out. It's Hitchcock if he's just fucking crazy.
We clinked glasses.
Early Saturday, then?
You could spend Friday night here.
Oh, goody. I've never slept with an axe murderer.
She faked a 3-syllable orgasm.
I'll put my bike in the car and bring it over after work.
Movie and dinner?
Good. I'll see where the trail comes closest. Maybe Ames. We can use my van.
How do we handle that? It won't come when you whistle.
Just pedal a half day or so and stop at a motel. Take the same route in reverse on Sunday. Drive home.
Okay. If it's the Bates Motel, though, I'm not going in.
See, you do know horror movies.
Just Hitchcock.
She shuddered, or pretended to.
Could we talk about the weather like normal people?
How about them Hawkeyes?
Chapter 4.
There was no actual road or driveway to Hunter's lair. He had planted scrub pines across the original dirt road years before, and there was no trace of it anymore. You had to weave through trees to get there, and he meticulously alternated among a dozen different entrance points, so there was nothing like a path leading over the rise to the double-wide trailer that squatted hidden among a stand of ancient live oaks. He maneuvered the van carefully through a mile of forest, mindful not to leave any broken saplings or flattened bushes. He parked the van under a lean-to of camouflage netting adjacent to the trailer, which was covered with the same stuff, made of immortal plastic. He got out, finishing the last of 6 Big Macs that came from the place in Macon where he usually bought lunch when he ate out. He carried 3 pizzas up the groaning stairs for later. He always bought them at the same Pizza Hut, down the block from the McDonald's. He was known as a local character at fast food joints more than 50 miles from where he actually lived and worked. The double wide had only 2 rooms, one of which was a large meat locker. The other room had a kitchen with a large professional range and oversized reinforced bed, chairs, shower and toilet, with a long stainless steel work table. A roll-top desk painted black sat at one end of the room, under a framed Star Trek poster and diagrams of male and female anatomy. All the other walls were solid with cheap metal bookcases crammed with science fiction paperbacks. All the book's spines were lined up exactly. All the metal surfaces glistened, and the bed was made up with hospital precision. The tile floor was spotless and gleamed with wax. He set the pizzas on the stove and emptied a tray of ice cubes into a large ceramic mug. He filled it part way with Coke from a plastic gallon container. Then he snapped the top off a half-gallon bottle of Old Crow bourbon and topped off the mug. He turned on a small TV mounted over the range and stirred the drink methodically. 5 minutes till 6. He wouldn't be on the news yet, but he always checked. He sipped at the bourbon and Coke and ate half of one of the pizzas while he watched the inconsequential goings-on that consumed normal people's time. Weather and war and human interest. He did have a special interest in humans. After the news, he finished off the drink, washed the mug, and put it away. From under the sink, he took a stack of newspapers and lay them down on the floor, overlapping, covering the area under and around the steel table. He lined a large trash can with a plastic bag and put it next to the table. He took cutlery out of a drawer and lined it up. Just so. He brought in the stiff body from the van and carefully unwrapped it. There wasn't too much blood, and he kept most of it in the bag, which he emptied into a waiting gallon jar. He labeled it with the date and set it by the freezer door. First things first. He put a heavy cutting board under the man's neck, and with one blow from a cleaver separated the head from the body. Holding a newspaper under it, he carried it to the meat locker, where it joined its 11 fellows on a shelf. He wasn't squeamish, but it was easier to work without the head looking at you. Consulting a flowchart that he'd printed out and laminated, he started with the legs and worked his way up, carving the meat into generous but manageable steaks and chops, wrapping each with a seal-a-meal vacuum machine and dating it.
Every now and then, he carried the packages into the freezer and put each into its proper bin. It took little more than an hour. He cracked the long bones with the cleaver, exposing the marrow, and put them in a slow oven to cook for brown sauce. Most of the rest went into a simmering stock pot. Then he cleaned all of his implements and the table. He stacked up all the newspapers and set them aside to bury tomorrow. Burning might attract attention. Besides, he liked to look at the pile every now and then. He took a bracing shower and then finished off the pizza watching MTV. Time to make some money. Of course, he couldn't have a regular job, but he could work at home. He opened the roll-top desk and turned on the computer and opened the Word file, Shandor Ascendant, Book 4 of the Starfound Cycle. It wasn't great literature, but you do have to eat. Cat in the Box. 1. I spent a couple of hours getting the damned bicycle carrier attached to the back of my old van. My own fault for buying it as is. It was missing a couple of bolts the previous owner probably hurled away in frustration. Kit didn't mind the delay. She was going over last year's notes in Calculus 3. I asked her whether that was in preparation for Calculus 4, and she said, "I wish," and told me the name of the course it was a prerequisite for. 3 words, and the only one I understood was analysis, though I doubted it had anything to do with Freud. We probably wouldn't need the carrier anyhow this weekend. The plan was to bike up to Cedar Rapids, 24 miles on MapQuest, spend the night at a motel, and come back Sunday morning. Then I'd take a longer ride during the week, maybe to Des Moines and back, get a feel for it. I've been riding a bike since I was a kid, a year-round thing in Daytona, but haven't done a really long trip since my sophomore year, when a bunch of us spent the summer biking and staying in hostels in Holland and then England. Since moving to Iowa, I've grown a little flabby. Maybe more than a little. Doesn't take much energy to stare out the window at the snow and wish you were somewhere else. I tried skiing my first winter and fucked up both knees badly enough to need a wheelchair. Not anybody's vehicle of choice for ice and snow. A diet of beer and potato chips, seasoned with onion dip and self-pity, set me on the road to the 200-pound mark. Hit 203 before I got up on crutches. Seem stuck at 190 now. Hoping to lose 15 or 20 pounds biking before the winter sets in. Help get into the character, too. Scrubbed the grease off my hands, but decided against a shower. We'd want one when we got to the motel, anyhow. Kit was hunched over her computer, which was on the low coffee table in the living room. Half a dozen books were spread around on the couch and table. She picked up a paper notebook and scribbled something down, not looking up when I came into the room. "With you in a minute," she said. "Want a beer?" "Got tea." I followed my nose into the kitchen. She'd put last night's soup on a back burner overnight, and the smell made me ravenous. It wasn't even 11, though. Popped a beer and sat down at the kitchen table with a magazine and a 100-calorie bag of pretzels.